Creef on News Talk.
If you want a book-lined room, you don't want it to look like you bought all the books together and haven't touched them since. You want to give the impression that these books have been taken down from the shelves time and again, that they are well-thumbed, even loved. And Cabinet Magazine offers a service to do just that. Make your books appear well-read, thus perhaps saving you the bother of actually reading them. Sina Najafi is Editor-in-Chief of Cabinet Magazine. Sina, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Why did you do this?
The book handling agency is a kind of a side project with the magazine. It's a jocose, serious endeavor, semi-ludic, if you'd like. In part, it's to kind of honor the tradition of marginalia and to think about the history of reading and all the marks that people leave in books. Which has become a kind of important part of literary scholarship, actually, because people have realized that the history of writing can't really be understood without the history of reading, and part of that history is left in the margins of books. So there are a number of amazing scholars who've turned to marginalia and the kind of notes left by reading. But the particular impetus for it came from a lunch I was having with a friend who's a literary scholar, Michel Paoli, to discuss his new book, which is about unheralded forms of reading, which is, for example, he's a literary scholar, but he doesn't finish most of the books he reads. And one chapter of his book is about not finishing books, which we all do, but we don't necessarily admit to. And another chapter is actually about non-reading. And we were talking about marginalia, which is also an important part of what he wants to discuss in his book. And I realized that when I was packing up my books recently, because I moved to Germany, I looked at marginalia I'd left when I was 18-year-old in college. And I was telling Michelle how embarrassing it was to see the marginalia I'd written as an 18-year-old, where I'm reading some extraordinary thinker like Karl Marx, and I'm writing things like Marx is right, you know, as an 18-year-old, who am I to judge these things? I've just managed to follow just about his argument. Mm. And in order to show that to who, to my later self, to someone else, I'm saying things like Marx is right. And I, we were thinking about embarrassing marginalia, and I said there should be a service where we kind of think about writing in very smart marginalia for a fee is a kind of satirical thing.
Yeah.
And he said, actually, Flann O'Brien had done exactly that in 1941. So then I went home and I read the extraordinary Flann O'Brien columns in the Irish Times from the 40s. And I realized that, you know, we could use the form of the Flann O'Brien book handling agency, including some of the funny packages that he had and some of the funny wonderful, funny ideas that he had to launch a service like this. Although I think Flann O'Brien's idea, which is that only rich, vulgar people buy books en masse, they have them unread and they want to look cultured. You know, he writes that directly about a friend of his who's vulgar and rich and who needs this service. It's not true. We all have unread books, including professors and critics and writers who people whose job it is to read books professionally. And I think the history of how that book ended up on your shelf, why you never read it, or why you tried a bunch of times to read it and never managed to do it, and why you might want it to look red at this point, these stories turn out to be quite variegated. They're all, you know, quite different, some of them quite moving. And the agency in part tries to archive and be attentive to all those different stories too.
Yeah.
So it's not about just making fun of somebody who wants to look cultured.
Yeah.
It's the many, many different stories here.
And the people who would turn up, were they turning up with one book or with mountains of books to get this straight?
Well, we have two services. At the event that we just did in Berlin, we had people would show up with one book, and we would interview them a little bit about the book, particular book, why they have it, why they haven't read it, have they tried to read it, and why they've shown up that day. And then we had a two-part, the agency agency's work is in two parts. There's a technical division that has a whole number of techniques for making a book look very old and red quite quickly in about 3 minutes, using staining techniques, but actually also some drill work and sandpaper and putting things, you know, interstitial things like little old train tickets and things. And then it would go to a team of four literary scholars and a novelist is who we'd gathered, and they would add marginalia and underlining and do the other kinds of work as well.
Yeah.
So in about
Were they doing that randomly, or presumably they were familiar with that book when they were underlining things and putting in
sometimes footnotes? Sometimes they were. Sometimes, you know, sort of well-known books would come in. Something by George Eliot came in. Somebody brought a Flann O'Brien book, of course. One person brought a book by one of the five scholars, in fact. but sometimes the book, no, they didn't know the book at all. So they would have to look at it, look at the back cover and start reading it. And then we have a stock book of phrases per O'Brien's scheme. O'Brien suggests having some stock phrases that are good for a lot of different kinds of occasions. But they would also really kind of beat bits of it and respond to it, you know?
Yeah. And would these generally have been great works of literature, or, you know, did somebody rock up with 50 Shades of Grey or, you know, those kind of books?
No. Sometimes there was a children's book. There was a some sort of... I don't even remember what it was quite now. Some sort of Viking storybook, perhaps kind of more like an airport read, I remember. Most people showed up with quite serious books.
Yes.
Somebody showed up with a book that's about 1,000 pages by Walter Benjamin, the philosopher, German philosopher, and she had actually read this book, and she bought a fresh copy because she lost her red copy. And now she had this totally unread book on her shelf, and it looked like she hadn't read it. So she wanted it read, make it look red, because she had actually had read it.
Yes.
There was a book that had come in by somebody who lives in Montreal. She now lives here, but her mother from Montreal was about to visit, and her mother had given her this book a year ago. And the book is something that is not her cup of tea. She will never read it. She wanted it to look appreciated for her mother. And so she wanted it to look red. So, but there are all these different stories, you know? So it's less about making fun of people who have not managed to read their books, you know?
And the reasons they would give for not reading, we give two examples there. Did some people arrive up saying, I just want to look cleverer?
No, nobody. I mean, perhaps it's too embarrassing to say that, you know, because what we would do is once we took the book in, we would announce the name of the book, a little bit about the book, and the reason why it had ended up with the person, why they hadn't read it. And so perhaps that dissuaded people from saying such a thing, you know, honestly, but if so, they made up very clever alibis, because all of them had very interesting, good stories for why they'd not read it and why they're there that night.
And you might, if the person was amenable to it, you might drop some wine on the book or some coffee on the book. That I assume that's something you'd have to do rather carefully, so you wouldn't, you know, an odd stain is fine,
absolutely,
but you didn't want to destroy it.
It absolutely. It's not about damaging the book. It's about making it look red. And the technical team, which really practiced for more than a week at our Berlin office. For example, we had one person who was specialized in how to best drop coffee drops, tea drops, wine drops onto a book. And it turns out you have to use different instruments. You have to do it from different heights and to make it look insouciant, to make it look authentic. So we had a ruler with different heights on it, and those heights were for the different kinds of liquids that were on offer. And the way you got to sign up for which liquids you wanted is that we had, this is, you know, taken straight from O'Brien, we had different packages, and some of the more expensive packages had, for example, we had, this is not from O'Brien, we had cheaper packages. just had cheap wine and more expensive packages that had expensive wine that could be dropped under and port and things like this.
Oh, so, no, what a waste of...
what a waste of good wine, right?
Yeah, indeed. Well, Sina, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Sina Najafi there, editor-in-chief of Cabinet Magazine.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.